Good evening. We've had another beautiful day. We've had another great day together as we have worshiped, as we have prayed, as we have sought God together. We've got some really exciting things coming up. Specifically, want to make another plug for the Trunk or Treat that's going to be happening a week from tonight. It's a great time for us to have some fun together. It's a great time for us to shine as a light in this community, that if we can get behind this and if we can invite our friends and invite our relatives and invite our neighbors, I think we can make much of God and bring glory to God through something as simple as having some fun and some candy from the trunks of some cars. And so make plans to be involved and be praying about it, be excited about it, because I think it'll be a really good time for us. As we dive in tonight, let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for the chance to be here. God, we thank you for the way that you have shepherded us and the way that you have guided us and brought us to this point in our lives. Father, we thank you for the saving love of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Father, we pray for, as we open your scriptures tonight, that you would guide our thoughts, and that you would guide our hearts, and that you would open our eyes, and that you would open our ears to hear a message from you tonight. That any words I say that aren't from you would just fall to the ground, but those that are from you, Father, would take root in our hearts in a way that would shape our lives so that we might look more like you. Father, we pray for your grace when we fall short. And Father, we pray for your courage to stand when we need to stand. Father, we pray this through the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. But this morning, if you're with us, we asked what I think is a really important question. And that question is, how did Jesus live? It's an important question. It's an important question because it gets at this idea of discipleship, that we are called to be followers of Jesus. It's not enough just to ask, what would Jesus do? And it's not even enough to ask, what did Jesus do? But we have to get after the total of Jesus' life. We have to get after the entire thing, because life isn't just about those extraordinary moments. Life isn't just about those profound moments, those situations of significance, those weighty decisions in our life. Life is about those small, everyday, I might even say boring and mundane moments. Those moments that would never get written down in a book. Those moments that would never get turned into a movie. Those boring, mundane moments. That's what our lives are made of. And so we look at Jesus' life, not just individual sections of it, but we look at the way he lived all of his life, and we seek to follow that. And as we seek to be these all of life disciples, the totality of Jesus' life and his teaching and his ministry, we said this morning that we can't hope to do what Jesus did if we don't live the kind of life that Jesus lived, because this is a way of life. Discipleship is a lifestyle. We said this morning that Jesus lived a life of preparation and prayer and discipline in communion with the Father. I don't know how often you think about Jesus praying. I know when I think about Jesus, I most often think of those big things like the cross and the resurrection. And I think about those dramatic moments like walking on water and healing people and casting out demons. Those are the moments that stick out to us because those are the most vivid. Those are what get our imagination going the most. Those are what we talked about in Vacation Bible School as kids. And those are the stories that we read to our children and our grandchildren. Those big dramatic moments. But we saw this morning that Jesus prayed. As we look at Luke chapter 3, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, it says that one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. And as he was, what? As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. In this dramatic moment when the heavens are opened and the Spirit comes on Jesus and the heavens boom with the voice of God, we find Jesus there in the midst of all of that. Doing what? Praying. As Jesus is beginning his public ministry, we find Jesus praying. And then at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, at Luke 23, at the end of Jesus' earthly life, it says, calling out with a loud voice, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus began his ministry with prayer, and Jesus ended his ministry with prayer. We know that the New Testament teaches us to be people who pray without ceasing. And if there was ever a person who did that, it was Jesus. We see stories of Jesus praying in the morning before the sun even comes up. We see Jesus praying during the day, and we see Jesus praying at night, sometimes even late into the night. We see Jesus praying all over the place. He prayed on mountains. He prayed in cities. He prayed in the wilderness. He even prayed on the cross. And as we look to Jesus as our example, as our teacher, as our guide, we see Jesus as a person who prayed, and a person who prayed a lot. And so tonight, I want to look at a few of Jesus' prayers and see what we can learn from the way that Jesus prayed. And there's a lot here. We're going to cover a lot really quickly, but I want to say up front that this isn't meant to be a burden. And when we go through something like this, it can be easy to feel like we're just putting more on our backs, more that we have to do. But as we consider this tonight, I hope that this is an encouragement, that it's freeing for you, that we don't have to do so much. We can rest in prayer and communion with our Father. And so first we see Jesus in private prayer. This is what we looked at this morning in Mark 1. As Jesus has just taught, as he has cast out demons, as he had healed people, as he had the whole town at his doorstep. It says the next day he rose very early in the morning while it was still dark, and he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And then in Luke 5 it says, yet Jesus himself frequently withdrew to the wilderness, and there he prayed. Jesus often felt this need to get away and to speak with his Father. After a busy day of preaching and healing and casting out demons and performing miracles, this is what Jesus did. He withdrew. He stepped away from all of the chaos and all of the busyness so that he could spend time with his Father. He pulled back from the craziness of everyday life so that he could spend time with God. And there are times in our life when that's what we need to do. When we need to just step back from the chaos, step back from the busyness, and to seek the face of God in the privacy and the secrecy of prayer. How often do we rush off to work in the morning and rush through our tasks during the day and then rush home and spend time cooking dinner, or spend time cutting the grass, or spend time playing with our kids, and then fall into bed at night, late at night, exhausted, to realize that never in the midst of it have we pulled away to pray. Sometimes what we need to do is not do more. Sometimes what we need to do is pray, and to rest in that communion we can have with our God. Jesus taught us, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And maybe this means waking up a little bit earlier, or maybe it means going to bed a little bit later. Maybe it means spending your lunchtime a little bit differently. I know for me, this means waking up early in the morning and grabbing a cup of coffee and grabbing my phone that has a prayer app on it that helps me kind of guide through prayer, because at 5 o'clock in the morning, my mind just doesn't work that quickly and I need the help. It means spending 10 or 15 minutes before I do anything else and spending time with God. Those moments of silence, those moments of solitude, are those moments when our faith can be strengthened, when God can get at our hearts in ways that he can't, when we are distracted by 1,000 things and we are distracted by the chaos of everyday life. And so we need to step back at times. We need to pray. And I can't tell you what that's going to look like in your life as you deal with kids, as you deal with your jobs, and as you deal with your family rhythms. But I can say that those moments of private, secret prayer are some of the most blessed moments in our lives as we commune with God, as Jesus communed with his Father. We also see Jesus praying with others. In Luke 9, it says, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and he went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And before Jesus' arrest, he was there praying with some of his closest disciples. Praying isn't just a private thing. It is a private thing, but it's not just a private thing. It's something that we can do together. As we look at the book of Acts, we see all kinds of examples of the church praying together, and we see examples of smaller groups of disciples praying together. And so this is as simple as finding some people and finding a little bit of time and praying together. What this looks like in my life is Tuesday morning, Jeff Bigler and I are trying to develop this rhythm of meeting to pray. He works down the road from my house, and so he pulls into my driveway as he's on his way to work, and I run out to his car, and we spend 3 or 4 or 5 minutes just praying together. Then I get back out of the car, go back to my cup of coffee, and he goes on to work. And then on Thursday afternoons, I meet with Brian Games to do some ministry and to do some prayer together. And those moments are really powerful moments. They're not complicated. They're not complex. But those moments of praying together and of seeking the face of God together strengthen us. Jesus did it. Jesus needed those moments of praying with his disciples, of praying with his brothers and sisters. And as we try to live this life in this world, sometimes that's the kind of strength that we need. We also see Jesus praying in public. He said in John 11, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe you sent me. Jesus prayed this right before raising Lazarus from the tomb. And he certainly didn't pray so that he could be praised by other people. Jesus taught against that very thing. But Jesus did pray in a way that others could see him, so that others knew he was a man of prayer. And so this isn't necessarily a showy thing. This isn't drawing attention to ourselves. This is simply about being unashamed to be known as a person who prays. We also see Jesus long at prayer. In Luke chapter 6, it says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. This is the moment before Jesus was about to call his 12 apostles. And he felt the need to spend that night not sleeping, not pacing back and forth, grappling with the decision. But he spent that night praying. And that simple question, that can cause a whole lot of guilt, a whole lot of conviction. At least I know it does when I consider it myself. How much time do we spend in a day praying? How much time do we spend pursuing the face of God, seeking the face of God? And I know when I consider it in my own life, I know there's some conviction there, because I know I don't pray nearly as much as I need to. I know I don't pray the way that Jesus prayed. I know I'm more likely to choose sleep when maybe I should choose prayer. I'm more likely to choose, well, any number of things instead of choosing prayer. But the example we have from Jesus is that prayer was so important, he would choose it over things like sleep. Jesus was a person who prayed for a long time because he enjoyed spending that time with God. We also see Jesus praying short prayers. He said in John 12, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Just a short little prayer. And we see these peppered all throughout Jesus' life. When he was on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And when he was on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. They are not long prayers. And we shouldn't pray long prayers. We shouldn't log the amount of time we pray so that we can tell people how long we pray, that I spent 3 hours in prayer today. We shouldn't pray long prayers just for long prayer's sake. There are times when we can express the desires of our heart, and we can express the burdens of our heart or the praise in our heart by just uttering a simple, short prayer. And that's the key to praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean that we are tucked away in our room all day. But it means we are offering these short little prayers from our heart, from our souls, from the depth of who we are to our God. There's one author who described prayer using three words. He said, this is what prayer is about. It's about saying help. And it's about saying thanks. And it's about saying wow. And there are times when that's all we need to say is help. Or we need to say is thanks. Or all we need to say is wow. That moment of praise. And for me, the prayer I pray, find myself praying more than anything else, is a simple prayer, Lord, have mercy. It's not from Elvis, it's from the Scriptures. Lord, have mercy. And we see Jesus asking in prayer. It says in Luke 22, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. This is why we have a prayer list that we update every week. This is why we send out emails so that we can be praying for each other. Because this is part of prayer. It's asking God on behalf of others. It's interceding for others. And we also see Jesus praising in prayer. It says in Matthew 11, verse 25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding, and you've revealed them to little children. There are so many good things that we experience in life. Things like a good cup of coffee, things like a nice warm shower, things like a good lunch, things like good conversation, beauty as we are driving to work, that moment in our day when everything just kind of comes together in that unexpected way that we could never have orchestrated ourselves. And so in those moments, we simply say, thanks. God, thanks for this. And the more we say that, and the more we mean that, the more we will become aware of the incredible blessings of God that are all around us. It's not complicated. It's not even that difficult. It's just simply saying, God, thanks for this. And so today when I was at lunch and had some good conversation with some good friends and a decent salad, simply said, God, thanks for this. And then we also see Jesus yielding in prayer. He said at the end of his life as he's wrestling and agonizing over the cross, he says, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is as much about changing us and changing our hearts as it is changing anything else. There always comes that moment where we say, God, I want these things. God, I feel like I need these things. But God, you know best. It means we let go of that clenched fist. And we receive whatever God has in store from us, knowing that God knows better than we do. This is the example that we see in Jesus. Jesus prayed, and he prayed a lot, and it boils down to this, being able to say, not my will, but yours be done. Tonight, if you're here and you've been resisting that call, you've been resisting that moment of saying, not my will, but yours be done. You've never given your life over to Jesus. You've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Then make that decision to do it tonight. Don't put it off anymore. Don't make excuses anymore. Simply say, not my will, but yours be done. And respond by being buried in baptism so that you can be raised as a new creation in Christ. Or tonight, if you're struggling with something and we can pray for you, that's what we're here for. That's what we do. And so if you need prayers tonight, would you come and talk to me as we stand and as we worship together?
I have resolved no longer to linger, shut out the world, see my life. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, peace and the Lord my side. I
Be seated, please. We're going to sing a verse of song 346, He Lives, and we're going to surround the table together. So if you haven't had the chance of doing that yet today, if you would just come as we're singing that song and have a seat in one of these front two pews to your right, we'll be